Okay, today's daf is Erevin daf Kuf Hey, the last daf of Maseches Erevin. We are up to the last Mishnah in Maseches Erevin on daf Kuf Dalid Amud Beis. The last Mishnah is going to discuss if you have a Sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, you find the Sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash and it's Shabbos. So you have a dilemma, because on the one hand you don't want to keep a Sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, it's Tamei. On the other hand, it's Shabbos and the Sheretz is Muktzah. So what do you do about the Sheretz that's in the Beis HaMikdash? How does one remove it? That is the subject of the Mishnah. Then in today's daf, that's really on Kuf Dalid, where the Gemara is going to try to link both machlokasim in the Mishnah. We're going to have two machlokasim in this Mishnah. We're going to try to link both machlokasim about how to remove the sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash and with each other, and from where in the Beis HaMikdash it must be removed, to Shmuel's opinion that it's only an issur d'rabbanan to have a sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to have a machlokas about how to remove the sheretz. We're going to have a machlokas about where the situation is that we need to remove the sheretz. Where exactly in the Beis HaMikdash complex situations that we need to remove the sheretz, and we're going to try to link each of those machlokasim with the sheet of Shmuel that it's only asur midrabbanan to have a sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Gemara is going to give the order of priority in figuring out who should remove the sheretz from the Beis HaMikdash if you have people who are less than ideal to be involved. And then the Masechta ends with a very detailed explanation of Rabbi Shimon's last statement in the Mishnah, which has absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the Mishnah, but it refers back to something that we learned earlier in the Masechta, and the Gemara tries to figure out what it refers back to, what that we learned earlier in the Masechta, the last line the Mishnah is about. So let's see the Mishnah. Sheretz shenimtza b'migdash. If you find a sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, Kohen motzio b'himyano. The Kohen should remove it with his belt. Shalo lishos esatuma, meaning you should pick it up with his belt, even though it's going to make his belt tameh, in order, shalo lishos esatuma, in order not to delay in getting rid of the tumah. So the Kohen has that on him because it's part of his wardrobe, so he's got to just take it and remove the sheretz that way. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan Baroka, that is the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Baroka. Lifted the himyano, is his, I call it the belt, it's the avnate, it's part of the big day kuhuna, and he gets it out as quickly as possible, even though obviously the avnates will become tamei from touching the sheretz. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'tzavas shal eitz shlo l'rabul sesatuma. Rabbi Yehuda says he should find wooden tongs to pick up the sheretz with and use those, because that will not become tamei. So even though it may take a while till he finds such a kli to be able to remove the sheretz, so the removal will be delayed and the tumah will stay in the Beis HaMikdash a little bit longer, but at least he'll be mima'it the tumah. The tumah will be localized to that sheretz, it will not be extended to the item that's used to remove the sheretz. The wooden tongs won't become tameh from removing the sheretz, unlike his avnate, which would become tameh. So the better of the two options is take your time, take a little bit longer, in order to remove it with something that won't become tameh. That is machlokes number one in the Mishnah. Now machlokes number two. Mehechan motzin also, where do we take it out from? So meaning where in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, if it's not Shabbos, anywhere you take it out, but if it's Shabbos, so where would we allow removal of a sheretz on Shabbos from the Beis HaMikdash? Where does the tumah pose such a threat or such a problem that we need to remove this muktzah item on Shabbos? So two opinions. It should only be removed from the Heichal, the Ulam, and the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Anywhere else in the Azara, you leave it there. You can wait till after Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol Makom Shechayav Nalzdono Kares, Val Shigasachatos, Misham Motziin Also. Rabbi Akiva holds it could be removed from the entire Azara. That anywhere in the Azara that you're going to find it, you remove it, and the Machlokas in the first half of the Mishnah about how to remove it would apply. Vishar Kolam Makamos, if it's found anywhere else in the Beis HaMikdash complex that you're not allowed to remove it on Shabbos, Kovinul of Psachtar. So they should take some sort of kli, cover the sheretz so that no one will touch it, and then they'll remember to remove it after Shabbos. That is all of that is the end of the Mishnah as far as the sheretz found in the Beis HaMikdash is concerned. Rabbi Shimon finishes off the Masechta Mishnah with a statement that's not very clear what he's talking about, and the very last few lines of the Masechta deal with what Rabbi Shimon is talking about. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Makom she'itir lachachamim mishalcha nasun lach shlo itir lacha el mishum shvus. The place where the chachamim were matir for you, they were gave you something that's rightfully yours because they were only were matir for you since the issue at hand was a shvus, was only an issur drabanan. So you couldn't get more vague if you tried to make a statement that's more vague than that. What is that talking about? What's the makom she'itir lachachamim? Some special case where the chachamim were makil, but really we're entitled to that kula. What does that mean? So again, we'll get to that at the very end of the Masechta. A couple of things over here related to the Mishnah. Rashi writes that why is it that the sheretz becomes mutter betiltel? So Rashi writes that the kohen is allowed to be metaltel the sheretz even though it's muktzah and normally not allowed to be metaltel the sheretz. So we were matir the tiltel sheretz for to save the tumah. So the Tosus Rid and the Be'er Sheva ask, based on the Gemara Maseches Beitza, the Gemara tells us about an achbar that was found bein habesamim of Ravashi, between Ravashi's spices. So Ravashi said, pick it up by its tail to bring it outside. And since it's considered a graf shel rei, so there is no isra of tiltul mutzah, you're allowed to remove a graf shel rei on Shabbos. So apparently, the achbar, based on the Gemara Maseches Beitza, which is a sheretz, is considered a graf shel rei. Graf shel rei is something that it's muktzah because you have no use for it whatsoever, but because it cramps your living style, it's disgusting to leave it around your house, so that's why you're allowed to remove it. That's one of the reasons why we're allowed to take out the garbage on Shabbos. It's garbage, it's muktzah, no? So what do we need the garbage for? But to keep garbage piling up in your house beyond the capacity of the garbage bag will be disgusting, and it's not a way to live, so therefore we take out the garbage on Shabbos. You're allowed to remove a graf shel rei on Shabbos. Graf shel rei literally means like a toilet bowl that they would have to clean out. It's disgusting to leave it dirty there. So the Gemara in Beitza qualifies an achbar as a graf shel rei. So why don't we just say that it's mutter because it's graf shel rei? So you're allowed to remove it from the Beis Hamikdash. So the achronim are metarets that really graf shel rei is still mukta. It's just that we're matir to be metalta that graf shel rei when there is some need for it. Because it's gross to leave it around your house. But if it's not in your house, it's in the Mikdash, and you're not taking it because it's Ma'us, you're not taking it out because you can't live like that. Who say, you know, you don't live in the Beis HaMikdash anyway. So then Tiltul does not become Mutter. So now we need a different Heter to be Metaltlet, and that Heter is that Ein Shvus B'Mikdash, is that we're Matir the Yisid Rabbanon in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's how the Miri writes as well, that only Makom Shvisaso, or Makom Achilaso, in a place where a person lives, a place where a person's trying to eat, that's where Graf Shel Rei is mutter. The whole heter of Graf Shel Rei is not going to apply in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not Makom Shvisaso, it's not Makom Achilaso. So that's going to be Aser in the Beis HaMikdash. So the question, would you say the same thing by a shul? Is a shul, do we consider a shul a Mikdash Ma'an, and therefore it's not your place of living, and therefore the whole din of Graf Shel Rei won't apply? Or would you say no, that the Beis HaMikdash, Rav Shechter's whole piece in Eretz HaTzvi, where he explains, B'Shem Rav Salvechik, I think, that the Beis HaMikdash, the shul is a Mikdash Ma'at, but it's not a Mikdash. It's a Mikdash Ma'at because the purpose of a shul, the function of a shul resembles that of a mikdash in that they are both meeting places between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference is there are a lot of differences in halachas. We're allowed to wear shoes in shul. We're not allowed to wear shoes at the base of mikdash. There are certain levels of respect that we show to a mikdash that we don't show to a mikdash ma'at. So he tries to be mevar the yisod that when it comes to the base of mikdash, we are meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's on his turf. It's his bias. When it comes to the shul, we're meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's ki'ilu, it's our house. So you wonder if that would have ramifications in how we consider a Graf Shel Rei, that if we have a chashva guest coming to our house, so Graf Shel Rei is a real heter that you'd want to remove anything that's disgusting. If we're going to someone else's house, so then it's not our business. That's not the place where we live. I don't know, but that's the way that that several Rishonim and Achronim deal with that issue. In Merome Sada, the Netziv explains Rashi differently. He says when Rashi says v'lo chayish l'tiltul, that we're not worried about tiltul, he doesn't mean that the Sharet says Motzei. He means that on Shabbos there's no possibility to take it out with a bull shel eitz, with just a block of wood, because a block of wood is Muktzeh Machmas Gufo. Whereas on a weekday, that's what we would suggest. So the Mishnah explains Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Broka, that's why the Mishnah mentions this Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Broka and Rabbi Yehuda Dafka relating to Shabbos, not relating to a weekday, meaning Lechora, one could have said, forget about Muktzeh. There should still be a discussion. How do I remove the sheretz? I find the sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. Should I get rid of it as quickly as possible, no matter what's going to become Tamei in the process? Or should I leave it there a little bit longer and make sure that I take it out in a way that's as Tahar as possible? Why does the Dafka talk about Shabbos? Because the preferred method of removing it may be a Muktzeh issue. The way to take it out may be by just taking some piece of wood, some random piece of wood that's not a Kli, and that would be a Muktzeh issue. It's interesting when the Rambam in Hilchos Bias Mikdash, Parag Gimel, Alachav, quotes the din of our Mishnah, he doesn't say that we're talking about a sheretz that's dafka that's found in the Mikdash, he says kol tuma. So the Mishnah Lamelech says, l'chora, it's dafka sheretz which is not metame b'masa, like Rashi says, because if you're dealing with tumas nevela, which is metame b'masa, so even if the kohen takes it out with a block of wood, he would become tame from carrying the nevela. So he might as well just take it out with biyado, he doesn't have to wait for anything. Not bavne, don't extend, you might as well, the guy is going to become Tamei no matter what. So why should he be Tamei's begadim? Why should he waste time looking for a Kli? You're going to become Tamei anyway. So pick it up. You wouldn't have to look for anything to remove it. So it's strange a little bit that the Rambam would just say, Bekol HaTumos, that by any Tumah you have this din that applies in our Mishnah L'chora. It's not by any Tumah. It's only by Tumah Sheretz. And one final issue relating to the Mishnah. In the Tshuvas Amudei Ar, he explains, why is it the coming is Dafka takes it out by Avneto of all the other Big Day Kahuna. Why would you Dafka choose this one of the Big Day Kahuna? So first of all, he says, if you say like the Rambam in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, in the 8th parak Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, Rambam says the Kohen is not allowed to wear his Avnet Shalo B'Shas Avoda because the Avnet is Shatnes. So we say Aseh Do Chalos Aseh, so you're allowed to wear the Avnet in general when you're doing the Avoda because you need to do the Avoda, but Shalo B'Shas Avoda it's Tam Shatnes, so he's not allowed to wear the Shatnes. It's only Lutzorech Avoda. So when he's removing the Sharetz from the Beis HaMikdash, he's taking a break from the Avoda. So if there's one Beged that he should remove at that time, it should be the Avnet so that he's not wearing Shatnes. That's Aleph. Then he says maybe even Ladas HaRaivid, who's Cholik on the Rambam and holds that even though that the Avnet, you're allowed to wear even Shalobashas Avoda, you can still say that if you take out the Sharetz with any of the other Begadim, the Sharetz would become a Chatzitza between the Beged and his basar, and you'd be mevatel the mitzvah of levishas big day kuna at that moment. Even dirt is chotzeit between his beged and his skin. But the avnet was 32 amos long, so he didn't have to use all 32 amos. There was parts that were hanging down, and he was able to be motzi the sheretz without being chotzeit between the avnet and the basar, because the avnet had a lot of leeway to be able to use to carry things. So that's okay. So then you'd be allowed to use the avnet in that way. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Tavi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel, Hamachnis Tamei Sheretz L'Mikdash Chayiv. If someone goes into the Beis HaMikdash while he's Tamei, someone brings into the Beis HaMikdash a Kli that had become Tamei from a Sheretz, so then you're Chayiv for bringing in such a Kli. Sheretz Atzmo Pater. But ironically, if you bring in a Sheretz itself into the Beis HaMikdash, then you're going to be Pater. So a Kli that becomes Tamei from a Sheretz is only Rishon L'Tuma. Sheretz is Navatuma. That Kli that becomes Tamei from it is a Rishon L'Tuma. So you bring the Avatuma itself in, the source of the Tuma, you're Pater. It's not a chayiv. You bring that which became tamei from it, which is on a lower level of tumah, and for that you're chayiv. Seems a little bit strange, but that is the Gemara is going to explain it. That is the sheet of Shmuel. My taima, what's the reason for this? Amar kra, because the pasuk tells us. Mizachar v'ad nekeva tishalechu, that from Zachar and nekeva you send al michutz l'machana tishalchum leitamus machaneim. The pasuk says you get rid of it in order that it shouldn't be metami the machana. Mishi yesh lo tara b'mikva yatsa sharet shein lo tara. So why do we dafka say mizachar and nekeva like we're talking about human beings? So we make the drasha that only things that are like people in that they can become tahar by going to a mikvah. only such things are included in this requirement to get it out of the Beis HaMikdash, not to bring it in the Beis HaMikdash. But a sheretz never has tara b'mikvah. When we want to use an example of a tvila b'mikvah that does not work, right, it's tovel, the sheretz b'yado, because even though the sheretz may be going to the mikvah with you, it doesn't do anything. The sheretz has no tara b'mikvah. So a sheretz has no tara b'mikvah, is not subject to this issur, it's not comparable to zachar ad nekeva. That is Shmuel's shita. Says Gemara, lema mesayele. Maybe we have a raya to this idea. Mizachar ad nekeva tishalechu, prat leklecheres, divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that we exclude klecheres. Why? It must be because klecheres have no tara b'mikvah. There's no tara. The only way to be mitar klecheres is b'shvira, is by breaking the klecheres. So just like zachar nekeva have tara b'mikvah, the only things that are included in the iser of tamei b'mikdash are things that have tara b'mikvah, and that would therefore exclude the sheretz from the iser, but it also excludes the klecheres from the iser. So it seems that this brisa of Rabbi Yossi seems to really back up Shmuel's idea that anything that has no tara b'mikvah cannot be brought into the cannot be subject to the iser of being brought into the Beis HaMikdash. So my time alav mishum talasli tara b'mikvah. That must be the explanation of this din. So says the Gemara, no, that's not a raya at all. Lo misha nasa av hatuma yatzah klicheres sheino nasa av hatuma. Now maybe the reason klicheres is excluded is because a klecheres can never become an av hatuma. That's why we exclude klecheres from the iser of tuma being brought in the Beis HaMikdash. Klecheres can't be an av hatuma, but anything that can be an av hatuma maybe would be subject to the iser. So maybe we don't accept Shmuel's shita. Shmuel said a sheretz is not subject to the iser. Maybe a sheretz really is subject to the iser because it can become an av hatuma. The geder is not what can become tar in the mikvah. The geder is what can become an av hatuma. The pasuk definitely limits the iser in some way by saying mizachar yad nekeva, that in some way the iser only applies to things that are like people. But in what way like people? Does it mean like people in that you can have tara b'mikvah and therefore a sheretz is out? Or it should be like people in that it can be an av hatuma and therefore sheretz would be included in the iser? So that's the issue. Lema ketanai. So maybe this statement of Shmuel is actually the subject of a machlokas tanaim. So the machlokas tanaim goes as follows: sheretz shenimtzu b'mikdash. Our mishnah, you find the sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna suggest that Shmuel shita might connect with two separate machlokas in tanaim. So this is the first attempt. Sheretz shenimtzu b'mikdash. You find the sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. Koyin motzio b'himyano shalolishol sasatuma de Rabbi Yochum and Broka. So Rabbi Yochum and Broka says, let the Kohen take it out with his avnate in order not to delay in getting rid of the tuma. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Bitzavas shall eitz motzio shalol rabul sasatuma. That you want to remove it with a piece of with tongs made out of wood in order to not increase the amount of items that become tame from this sheretz. So my lab b'hakamifli, isn't this the machlokas? Demand yamar shalol lishos, the one that says we don't want to delay and just get it out of there as quickly as possible, so use your avnate. Kasavra machna sheretzim l'mikdash chayiv, holds that if you bring a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you're chayiv. And therefore, the number one priority is get the sheretz out of here. I don't care what else you're being metame, get the sheretz out of here as quickly as possible. Umand yamar shalol l'rabos, kasavra machna sheretzim l'mikdash potter. The one that says, no, let's just not make anything else Tameh would obviously hold that that mita or raisa, there's no requirement to get the sheretz out of here. The sheretz is really allowed to be here. So why would we be making other things tameh? Don't make anything else tameh. I understand we want to remove the sheretz. Good, so remove the sheretz, but don't make anything else tameh in the process, because the sheretz removal is not a very high priority. There's no chiv, there's no isidor raisa to have the sheretz over there. So isn't that the subject of the machlokas? Says the Gemara, that's not really what they're arguing about. Lo, dekuli alma chayiv. Maybe everyone agrees, sheretz midor raisa, it's also to have a sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. You got to get rid of it. V'hacha v'hakamit, the machlokas in our mishnah is as follows. Mar sover shuhi yituma adif, One shita holds that it's better to remove it more quickly, meaning the concern of delaying and keeping that tumah there is a greater concern. Umar savra fushe tumah adif, and the other one holds that no, that the idea of spreading the tumah is a greater concern for us than the idea of how long the tumah is going to remain there. We want to limit the spread of the tumah rather than limit the amount of time that the tumah is there. That's the issue that they're struggling with. Now, why does the Gemara Dafka Tosos in Masechta Sota ask that in our sugya we see that tamei sheretz is more chamor than a sheretz in a certain way? Something that becomes tamei from a sheretz is more chamor than the sheretz itself, because if you're machnas the sheretz itself to the base of Mikdash according to Shmuel, you're pater because it has no tara b'mikvah. But however, Tosos points out the Gemara in Sota says that a mace is chamor from a tamei mace. The Gemara over there says that a tamei mace is allowed to enter into the machna levia, and not only tamei mace, afilu mace atzmo. And so mace atzmo is so you see from there that mace atzmo is chamor mi tamei mace. Why? Because it's afilu mace atzmo. Not only can the tamei mace be entered the machna levia, even the mace atzmo. So why is it that when it comes to the world of sheretz, the tamei sheretz is more chamor than the sheretz? Yet when it comes to the world of mace, the tamei mace is less chamor than the mace. So Tosfos says the Aruch Gemara Dafka picks sheretz and not nevela because it's not metame b'masa, and therefore someone who's machnas the sheretz itself is mipater because machnas sheretz does not become tame as long as you're not nogei, you're only carrying the sheretz. Let's say you carry the sheretz in a bag, so you don't become tame when you carry the sheretz in a bag as long as you're not touching it. But if someone who's machnas a mace, it's chamor than being machnas a tame mace, because when you're machnas the mace itself, you're automatically tame from the connection to the mace, and therefore it's more chamor than a tamei mace. I mean, you have that extra chumrah by a mace that you don't have by a sheretz. There is that major kula by a sheretz that you don't have this concept of tumas masa by the sheretz, and that's a big issue that we don't have that concept of tumas masa by the sheretz. Now, okay, let's see the Gemara further now. So we tried one machlokas tanaim to make Shmuel's din subject to machlokas tanaim. Again, Shmuel's din that a sheretz is really midoraisa, allowed to be in the base of Mikdash. There's no chiv to get rid of it midoraisa. It's only midrabanan. We tried to make it connect to the machlokas in our Mishnah. It didn't work in the end of the day. Three lines from the bottom, kuf dalet and beis, last three words on the line. Ela kahani tanaim. Rather, maybe we can connect it to the following machlokas tanaim, to Tanan, and it's also from our Mishnah. Meheichan motziin also. The Mishnah says, which parts of the Beis Hamikdash does the sheretz pose a problem that you would be motziin on Shabbos? So, my laba kamifugi, isn't the machlokas as follows? Demand yamar me'azara lo kasavra machnas sheretz l'mikdash, me'azara lo kasavra machnas sheretz l'mikdash, Pater, Umandir Mekula Azara, Kasavra Chayiv, that the second machlokas in the Mishnah, whether sheretz is removed from the entire Azara on Shabbos, may relate to whether it's Asur Dal Raisa Avdir. If it's an Asur Dal Raisa, so it would make sense to assume, like Rabbi Akiva, you'd want to remove it from anywhere in the Azara, because the Asur Dal Raisa Luchora should apply equally throughout the Azara. But if it's only Nisud Rabbanan, then the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Ananus that we won't suspend the halacha of Muktzah to remove it from the entire Azara makes sense. So maybe that's the machlokas. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the machlokas. Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Shneim, Mikra Echad Darshu. They both darshan from the same pasuk. Pasuk says, Ve'evo akwanim lepnima, Beis Hashem letaher, Ve'yotziu es kol atuma, Asher matzu beheichal Hashem, Lechatzer Beis Hashem, Ve'ikablu halavim lehotzi lenachal kidron chutza. So the Rabbi Yochanan says, again, Rabbi Yochanan's point is that really Rabbi Shimon Ananus and Rabbi Akiva, both shitos in our Mishnah, may hold that it's machnas sheretz l'mikdash yechayiv, that there is an isur da'oraisa that one is chayiv for bringing a sheretz into the Beis Mikdash against Shmuel. What they're arguing about is the chomer of the chiyuv to get rid of it from the Azara when it's already there. Meaning, are we going to be matir muktza, the isur muktza, to remove it when it's already there? To bring it there? You're chayiv midoraisa for bringing a sheretz anywhere in the Azara. Every Tana in our Mishnah holds that way. The issue is, once it's there, how serious of an issue is it to get rid of it from the Azara? Will we be matir muksa? So both Shittos, both Rabbi Shimon Ananus and Rabbi Akiva, both darshan the same pasuk. The pasuk is talking about in the days of Chizkiyahu Melech, they had all sorts of avodah zara from the leftovers from the days of Achaz that they had to clear out of the Beis Hamikdash. So it describes the cleanup process of getting the avodah zara outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So the Kohanim who are Behechel Hashem, who are in the Azara, so they removed the Tumah, and then they gave it and handed it off to the Levium. And the Levium took it out to Nachal Kidron, which was outside of the city of Yerushalayim, meaning they needed a lot of people to get rid of all this Tumah that was in the Hechel, all this Avodah Zarah, but they divided the process into two steps. The Kohanim took it from the Hechel to the Azara, the Levium took it from the Azara to Nachal Kidron. But you see that there was very makbid dafka from the Hechel to the Azara that only Kohanim handle it. The Levium were not allowed to go into the Hechel to handle it. But from the Azara and outward, only Levium handled it, and Kohanim would not touch it anymore, even though that probably caused a delay. The quickest way to get it out is by just having whoever's carrying it continue to carry it. By the fact that they handed it off to the Levium, it caused some sort of delay. So why? Why did they allow for such a delay in handing it off from the Kohanim to the Levium? That's the Machlokas Tanaim in our Mishnah. Mar Sava, Reb Shimon ben Anas holds, Midishtani ba'azara b'Levium, from the fact that we change the removal from the Azara to be dafka with the Levium and not the Kohanim, so you see that Tumah ba'azara leka, that there's not such a chiyuv to remove Tumah from the Azara to allow a violation of an Isser and to be metame Kohanim in order to be metare the Azara, to allow Kohanim to continue to make themselves tame just to be metare the Azara. So Mimela would turn out that there's the removal of a Sheretz that's found on Shabbos would also not be Docha, the Isser Mukza, that we're not as concerned with what's going on in the Mikdash, we're more concerned with the Tumah of the Kohen. So similarly, we would be more concerned with the Isser of Muktzah. Umar Savar and Rabbi Akiva holds that there's no chilik between the Hechel and the Azara in this regard. By both of them, there's a chiv to remove the Tumah right away, and the Kohen can become Tamei for that sake. The chiv to violate the Isser, and certainly you'd violate an Isser Muktzah for that. The reason the Kohanim didn't take it out themselves from the Azara is that Hechel the Lav Shabbat Levium Mafke Kohanim, until the place where the Levium were not allowed to go, the Hechel, so we had no choice. We have to let the Kohanim deal with it. Hashadav Shabbat Levium Sulamatami Kohanim. But once you're in the Azara where the Levium are allowed to go, so then the Kohanim don't have no right to become Tami to it anymore, even though doing that is going to cause the Sheretz to remain in the Azara a little bit longer. So that's what the machlokas is really about. That's what the Gemara suggests machlokas is really about. Now, Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara is going to just bring us a brisa about going into the Beis Hamikdash to build the Beis Hamikdash, to be misaki in the Beis Hamikdash, and to remove tumah from the Beis Hamikdash. Who do we nominate for these jobs? Who should be the one that goes into the Beis Hamikdash lechatchila for these purposes? And b'di'eved, what's the seder kedima when it comes to this issue? So Tana Rabbanan, hakol nichnasin behechal livnos l'sakein ulahotzia satuma. Anyone could go into the hechal, whether it be kohanim, levim, yisraelim, in order to build, in order to fix, in order to remove tuma. Even though anyone theoretically can do it, but here's our preference. Umitzvah b'kohanim. Ideally, we want the kohanim to do it. Im ein shem kohanim, nichnasim levim. If there are no kohanim to do it, so then we have levim do it. Im ein shem levim, nichnasim yisraelim. If levim can't do it, then we'll allow yisraelim to do it. So the Gemara is medayik from the fact that the Braisa doesn't say beferish that even tameim can do it. It just says kohanim, levim, yisraelim. So the Gemara is medayik v'idi Tahorin in Tamei and Lav, that only Tahor people, whether it be Kohan and Levim, Israelim, they must be Tahor. But a Tahor person is able to go in, but a Tamei person cannot go in. It's only if there's no Tahor people that Tamei people are going to be allowed to go in. So we see that Yisraelim Tahorim would take precedence over Kohanim Tameim. We said Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, but that's when everybody's Tahor. If there's someone that's Tamei, then we forget the Seder Kedim of Kohanim Levim Yisraelim, and we go with the Tahor person first, even if it's a Yisrael over the Tamei Kohen. So Amar Rav Huna Rav Kahana Misayei Kahani. So Rav Huna says Rav Kahana, who was a Kohen, gave a halacha that's flattering to Kohanim, that gives preference to Kohanim. Why? What did he say? Titani Rav Kahana, because Rav Kahana taught the following brisa. Mitok Shenemar, when it says about a Kohen Balmum, Ach ela parochas lo yavo, and the pasuk continues, ela mizbeach lo yigash, ki mum bo. So we see that a Kohen that's a Balmum is not allowed to go between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, and beyond that point, so Yachal, I would have thought, lo yibukad and Balimum, and Nichnasin ben Ulam and the Mizbeach, lasos rikwe pachim, that a Kohen who has a mum is not allowed to go in that area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, even if he's going to fix the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the inside with the golden, with the gold plating that they fix the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So Talmud Lomer, that's why it says Ach, to teach me a miut. So Chalak, to teach, to distinguish between a Knisa Letzorech and a Knisa Shalol Letzorech. That the any Knisa that's Letzorech, the Migdash, he's allowed to go in. So Mitzvah B'Tmimim, Ain't Shem Tmimim Nechnasim Bali Mumin. Ideally you'd want to have Tmimim go in, but if you don't have Tmimim, then Bali Mumin can go in. Mitzvah B'Tahorim, Ain't Shem Tahorim Nechnasim Tmeim. Ideally you'd want Tahorim to go in, but if you don't have Tahorim, so then Tmeim can go in. So the Gemara is Medayik. From the fact that the Brisa doesn't say anything about Yisraelim, this Brisa is the opposite of what we said before, of the first Brisa. First Brisa spoke about Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, nothing about Tmeim. This Brisa is all about Tmeim, ideally Tahorim. If not Tahorim, then Tmeim. But nothing about Yisraelim. So both Tmeim and Bali Mumin, Tahorim and Tmeim, Kohanim in Yisraelim lo. Rav Kahana apparently teaches that Kohanim is the most important factor over here. That whether they're Tar, Tamei, Bali Mum or not, if you have a Kohen, the Kohen wins. And then you worry about if involving a Levi or Yisrael, if there's no Kohen at all available, but any Kohen called Dehu, no matter what his status is, would automatically win. So the Gemara says, okay, let's discuss a little more Dine Kedima. Ibailu, Tamei Ubal Mum, Ezameh Nichnas. Let's say you have a choice between a Kohen who's Tamei and a Kohen who's a Balmum. Which one is better to send in? Is it better to send the Tamei or the Balmum? So Rabbi Chiya Barashi Amar Rav, Tamei Nichnas, Tashtari Bavodas Tzibur. We let the Kohen that's Tamei go in, because Tamei isn't so bad from the fact that we see that a Korban Tzibur, when the whole Tzibur is Tamei, is able to be done by Tameim. So Tumas Hutra B'Tzibur. But a Balmum never is allowed to do the Avodah. So it must be that a Tamei is preferred to a Balmum. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Balmum Nichnas, Tashtari Bachilz Kachim. Rabbi Lazar says, no, we prefer a Balmum, because a Balmum is allowed to at least eat kachim. A Kohen who's Tameh, not only is he not allowed to do the Avoda when the Tzibor is Tahar, but he's not even allowed to eat the Karbanos. Someone who's a Balmum, he's not allowed to do the Avoda, but he's at least allowed to eat the Karbanos, so that's why he prefers a Balmum. So that's a Machlokas, which one we prefer. Do we prefer the Balmum, or do we prefer the Tameh? So again, so in our Sugya, we're discussing, we started off by discussing removing Tumah from the Beis HaMikdash, but we brought in this brisa about building and being misak in the Beis HaMikdash. And we said there's a mitzvah lechadchila that all that work should be done by Kohanim that are Tamimim. If there's no Tamimim, then Bali Mumin. Mitzvah b'tarim. If there's no Tarim, then we allow Tameim. Even though the original brisa didn't mention allowing Tameim, only mentioned allowing Yisraelim. So according to that brisa, like we said, Yisraelim Tarim would be better than Kohanim Tamimim. But again, we go through this whole Seder Kedima. So in the last section of Perine Alach in the Masifta, on the Masechta, he quotes in that in the year Tafresh Chaf, roughly, the many, many poskim were started to deal with all of the issues of being makriv karbanos bezman hazeh. They wanted to figure out, would it be possible to be makriv karbanos bezman hazeh? They were trying to figure out kedushas hamikdash bezman hazeh, yichus kuhuna bezman hazeh, do kohanim have any yichus bezman hazeh, the metzius of tcheles and argamon and tala shani to be able to make big day kuhuna bezman hazeh, the avne chosha and the ephod for the kohen gadol, hakrava betumas meis bezman hazeh, where we don't have ephod para aduma and we're all tamei meisim, so is that going to be okay? Where exactly should the mizbeach be bezmanenu? Can we identify the makam of the mizbeach, collecting the machza shekel for karbonos hatzibur bezman hazeh? Many, many issues. Every issue you could imagine. It led to a very rich literature, even though halacha lemaisa turned into nothing. It was a big zero halacha lemaisa, but a very rich literature of trying to bring back all of these halachos of mikdash, and that it was very useful in that regard. In lahagdil Torah lahadir, so the Chasam Sofer in the Tshuva in Yordeh Simin Reish Lamed Vav, he says you can't bring carbon bisman hazeh except carbon Pesach. That you're allowed to bring, because you can't be goveh shkalim from all of Klal Yisrael bezman hazeh. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden agrees with that, and you can't be makriv karbanos tzibur that are boyim in ashkalim, because you can't collect the shkalim. A karban yachid you can't be makriv betuma. Karban pesach is the only one that when the tzibur is tamei, so it's a karban yachid that you're able to be makriv betuma. I mean, normally only karban tzibur you could be makriv betuma, but the way it works is that a karban tzibur, you need the shkalim. We don't have shkalim, so you can't do the shkalim, so you can't do carbon sibur. You carbon yachid, you can't do betumah. So we're stuck in both of the only one that fits in between the two categories is the carbon pesach, which is a fascinating idea in general. I think when Rav Gigi from Gush was here, he spoke about that idea of carbon pesach being the bridge between a carbon yachid and a carbon sibur. It's a fascinating carbon. There's a good lead into to pesachim. Most of pesachim is about carbon pesach. It's not really about the fun stuff, but that is a lot of fun also. The carbon pesach is the bridge between a carbon yachid and a carbon seabor. So one of the issues is being machnas into the makam of mikdash b'tumas meis for the sake of building a mizbeach. Meaning, yeah, granted the tumas hutar to bring the carbon. What about building the mizbeach? So in the Shari Tzedek, he says we can't bring carbonos bezman hazeh based on what he was told in the chalom that you're not allowed to build a mizbeach b'tuma. And he says that even though our kravos carbonos seabor is docha tuma, binyan habayi is not docheh tuma, and even though we're makriv, even though there's no base on mikdash, the Gemara Megillah says, but the mizbeach is ma'akev, and building a mizbeach is part of building a bayis, and we can't build the bayis betuma. So in the Sefer Shemi Shimon, he says, what are you talking about? Our Gemara says beferish, binyan base on mikdash is docheh tuma. They allow to, when you don't have tahorim, you can use tameim to fix the base on mikdash. A person that's tamei is allowed to go into the base on mikdash b'shvil the sakein. Our Gemara said beferish. Our Brayer said beferish. So he rejects the raya of the Shari Tzedek from the fact that ain binyan beis hamikdash docha Shabbos. That's what the Shari Tzedek suggests. That based on the fact that ain binyan beis hamikdash docha Shabbos, so it also just like it's not docha Shabbos, it also shouldn't be docha tuma, because these two dinim of being of a carbon being docha Shabbos and a carbon being docha tuma are both learned from the same pasuk. So if binyan beis hamikdash is not going to be docha Shabbos, it's also not going to be docha tuma. He says no. The reason why it's not docha Shabbos is because you can build it during the week. There are 6 days a week that we can still build it. But of course it's got to be docha tuma. Because how in the world are we going to become tahar? Everyone's tameh. There's no other option. So of course it's going to be docha tuma. So in the truth, so that's the bam kasha the Shemi Shimon has on the Shari Tzedek. So in the Minchas Yitzchak, in the Tshuvan, Chelik Vav, Sim Kuflam Gimla, Os Ches and Tes, he's metaritz for the Shari Tzedek. He says that which we're matir for a tameh to go into the Beis HaMikdash, to build the Beis HaMikdash, is not like the heter that we have to be ovid avoda betumas tzibur. When it comes to tumas tzibur, the tumas hutra betzibur. When it comes to binyan and tikkun of the mikdash, it's not that the tumah becomes hutra. It's dechuya. It's not hutra. And from our sugya, it's muchach that way. We don't allow a tumay to enter the base of mikdash unless there's no one that's tahar. So there and even if there is someone that's tahar according to one shita, we allow a balmum over a tumay. So there are madregos of what what we're allowing to be docha. We go for the lesser iser first. So since it's only dechuya, so we need ritzoy tzitz to be meratza on the tuma and be mechaper on the chet. That's the nafkamina. This also is going to be discussed in a couple of weeks in Masechus Pesachim. Ritzoy tzitz, the concept that when the kohen is wearing, the kohen gadol is wearing the tzitz, that's meratza, that allows for all of our tuma problems. But you only need ritzoy tzitz if there's a tuma problem. If it's tuma hutra, that there's no problem whatsoever, we just ignore it entirely, so then you don't need ritzoy tzitz. So he says, that's what's going to stop us from building the mikdash. Building the mikdash, yeah, can it be done b'tumah? It can be done b'tumah. But only with ritzoy tzitz. Only if we have a kohen gadol wearing tzitz. If we don't have ritzoy tzitz, then it can't be done b'tumah. But when it comes to a karban sibur being makriv, an actual karban sibur, that's hutra. That's completely mutter. You wouldn't need ritzoy tzitz for that. So therefore, maybe the Shaar HaTzedek is correct that building the base of mikdash is going to be a formidable problem when it comes to when it comes to the fact that we are all tamei. Okay, now the last line in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon had said something that was very difficult to understand in the Mishnah. Some line about Makum Sheitiru L'Chacham Mishalcha Yitiru. The Chacham gave us what's rightfully ours. When the Rabbanan made something mutter, they gave us what's rightfully ours because they only allow Yisurim to Rabbanan. So the Gemara breaks down Rabbi Shimon's statement into two parts and explains what each part of his statement refers to. Each half of a sentence goes back to a different halacha that we learned early in the Masechta. One a long time ago and one not so long ago. So the first part, Rabbi Shimon Hecha Kai. What is Rabbi Shimon talking about? What earlier statement in the Gemara, in the Mishnayos, is Rabbi Shimon referring back to? Hasam Kai is going back to Daf Nun Beis. Detnan, it says in the Mishnah Daf Nun Beis, Misha Hechsha Chutz Luchum, Afilu Ama Achas Lo Yikanes. If someone is Machsha Chutz Luchum, if someone is stuck outside of the tchum, even one amma, he goes beyond the tchum, he's stuck. He can't come back in, he's stuck for the rest of Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Omer, but Rabbi Shimon disagreed. Rabbi Shimon said, Afilu chamesh esra amma yikanes. Even if he goes 15 amos outside of the tchum Shabbos, he's still allowed to come back in to the Tchum Shabbos, because the people who would measure the end of the Tchum Shabbos were not careful to measure it exactly precisely. They left a little bit of leeway. Why did they leave a little bit of leeway? Because of the Toim, because there are some people that are going to walk a couple of steps beyond where you mark off the Tchum. So in order to save them from themselves, we allow a little bit of leeway that they could. So if you're within 15 amos, you're still okay. The Tanakama lo yikanes, Bamalei Rabbi Shimon yikanes. So that's what Rabbi Shimon means to say. When Rabbi Shimon says Malkum Sheyitiru Lacha Mishalcha, he's referring to that halacha that according to Rabbi Shimon they set the tchum markers closer than the tchum Shabbos really than the tchum Shabbos really belongs. That's the first half of a sentence. The second half of a sentence, Shelo Yitiru Lacha Ela Mishum Shvus. They were only matir Mishum Shvus. What's he referring back to now? Not all the way back to Daf Nun Beis. Now he's referring to a 50 blot later than that Daf Kuf Beis. We just had a couple of days ago when it comes to repairing a harp string in the Beis Hamikdash. So Hechakai Hasam Kai Dekamer Tanakama Kosha. Tanakama says you can tie it a regular knot. Va'amrle Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says Onva. No, not a regular knot. You tie it in a bow. Aniva delo asi ledechi of chatas sharele rabbanon. So when Rabbi Shimon says shelo itiru lecha el mishum shvus, he says what kind of knot can you tie? A bow which is not going to ever bring you to a chi of chatas. Kshira dasi ledechi of chatas lo sharele rabbanon. But a kshira, a real knot that the rabbanon wouldn't allow a knot because if done permanently, that can make a person be chayiv a carbon chatas. So Tosos of here writes the reason the Mishnah explains the sheet of Rabbi Shimon only at the end of the Masechta and not where it actually belongs, meaning this is a little bit odd, right? We have the whole Mishnah about a sheretz in the Mikdash and what you do when a sheretz is in the Mikdash, and then at the very end of the Mishnah, oh yeah, Rabbi Shimon's got what to say about Daf Nun Beis and about Daf Kuf Beis. What? Why would Rabbi Shimon wait till now? Why would the Rabbi Yehuda Anasi wait till now to tell us what Rabbi Shimon has to say? So he says, because the Mishnah first wants to explain all of the dinim that are Asr b'Medina and Mutar b'Migdash, and only afterwards to explain Rabbi Shimon's Shita, who's makel by someone who's Hichshech Alav Shabbos Michutz L'Tchum, and is Machmir by the Nima Sakin or Shenifsika. That first it wants to tell us all the dinim of that are asr b'medina, mutar b'migdash, and then explain Rabbi Shimon's one kula and one chumrah. Unclear what that means. Marsha says very dochak. What exactly is that? What's really going on over here? So the Marsha explains a little bit differently that Rabbi Shimon is going on the Mishnah and Daf Nun Beis, but it's really a klal in the entire Masechta. And that's why we waited until the end of the Masechta, says Marsha, that there are a lot of places where we're making a tzorach mitzvah and other needs, and because throughout the Masechta, and because Heim Amru, they're the ones, the Chum were the ones that asked it, so Heim Amru, they are also the ones that are able to be Matir. That's Mishalacha Nasunlach, that all the Dinim of Erevim are only Drabanan. And even Rabbi Akiva, well, it's Tchumen or Daraisa, that's only the Tchum of Yud Beis Mil, but Alpayim Amma, Lukuli Alma is Drabanan. All Dinei Erevin in a Karmelis, Eruvi Chatzeru, Shituvei Mavuos, all of them are Gzera Shlomo Melech, and the later generations of Chachamim. And therefore, the Chachamim have the right to be Mekel throughout all of Hilchos Erevin whenever they see fit, because all of it was an invention of the Chachamim. So that's the Kol Makom Sheitiru Chachamim Lahakel. All the places where the Chachamim are Mekel, meaning throughout all of Dinei Erevin, is because Mishalacha, what they're giving you is midoraisa, what's rightfully yours. Midoraisa, none of this is a problem to begin with. And what better way to conclude Maseches Erevin than with that comment? Because that's what makes Maseches Erevin unique amongst all Masechtos and Shas. It's the only one that deals exclusively with Dinim Drabanan. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi highlights as the last line of Maseches Erevin. Hadron Lachamotzi Tzun, Slikla Maseches Erevin. We'll see you in Pesachim tomorrow. That's the show.